Happy Friday, everybody. We're giving you 9 outside-the-box tips to plan your next Walt Disney World vacation, celebrating 9 years of the Be Our Guest podcast. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that's our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. So the next time you're headed to a Disney destination, or even just thinking about it, drop by themagicforless.com. They're great experts in planning Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, and even Adventures by Disney trips. And I'd love to personally help you plan that next Disney getaway. That's right. You and I can sit down and talk about all the expectations you have for your trip, put some numbers together, and see if that next trip is in the cards. And you know what? We can make it work. We can change dates and work with tickets and all kinds of stuff. We're going to make your next Disney adventure awesome. So drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. And an agent will get back to you right away. And you'll be planning that next trip. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at AmeriprizeAdvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1146 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMilesRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. And let me take, I hate to do this, but we have to. Happy 9th birthday to the Be Our Guest Podcast. We've been around now for 9 years thanks to you. You guys supporting the show, spreading the word. I know a lot of you guys have still, you know, you've been there since day one, since our first podcast was March 18th of 2008. So, 9 years tomorrow. So also happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our Irish friends. I know Aaron and Daniel are probably Brendan Daniels. I'm so bad lately. I am getting old because my brain is not working anymore. But yeah, I'm sure the Irish eyes are smiling down at Raglan Road today, down at Walt Disney World. So happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. And if you're celebrating, again, I always say this, celebrate smart, be careful, get a designated driver, but have a good time today and tonight. And wear that green. All right. Well, today, celebrating 9 years of the podcast, we're going to give you 9 outside-the-box tips to think about when you're planning your next Walt Disney World vacation. So joining me to do that, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And Ricky, thanks for going on this 9-year journey with us here on the podcast. Pretty amazing.
You are certainly welcome. I cannot believe the 9-year ride that we've been on together. It's been fascinating and fabulous and fun and exciting and only mildly annoying your face, but you know, whatever. It's been a great ride most of the time. So, the one thing I have to say, and I think it's quite fitting, all things considered, is be our guest. I'm so excited the movie comes out tonight. Okay.
Oh yeah. They coincided the movie release with our 9th anniversary. It's pretty nice.
Yes, of course they did. I'm so excited. I'm going to go see the movie tonight if I can, you know, drag Brian with me. At least this weekend I will be seeing the movie. So, yay! It's perfect timing. So
that's awesome. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy 9 years of podcasting. Pam, what's going on?
It is crazy pants that we are 9, really and truly. I mean, I'm almost speechless on this because it honestly, I don't know, maybe we started doing it a year ago. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, right?
But I mean, it's awesome. And I mean, it's just brought so much to my life. So thank everyone who makes this possible, especially Mike and Ricky. And then especially all of the people who listen to us do this a couple times a week. What the heck, folks? I mean, it's awesome. So anyways, it's just a very cool thing to be a part of.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about it. We're going to get to the tips here in just 1 second. But I mean, think about it. We've done 3 podcast cruises, 4th one coming up here in a couple months. We've broadcasted from a treehouse. We've raised a ton. The best thing about the podcast, all the money we've raised for Give Kids the World. Thanks to you guys being so 100%. Generous to the folks down there. But just, you know, events in the park. We were at Mouse Fest on the last Mouse Fest. We've been to press events and getting to cover some of the new events, Fantasyland, and some other stuff happening down at Walt Disney World Mine Train. It's just... it's very, very cool, the stuff we've done. We stormed Norway. I mean, we've done a lot of stuff. We didn't even have a running squad. Did you see how many people are on the running squad? 1,040 at last count. So
it's crazy. Yeah,
it's nuts. And
I cuckoo just wanna, bananas.
But it's awesome. I mean, you're going to find out next week. You're going to get some words from Mike just about, because I've been reflecting on this over the past 3 or 4 months, and it's an amazing journey, and it's all because you guys take the time to listen and, more importantly, spread the word about the podcast. We thank you. Cannot actually thank you enough for that. It really makes my life. It's added so much to it. So anyway, thanks for the 9 years, and here's to 9 more at least, because we love doing this. But today, speaking of 9, we're going to give 9 outside-the-box tips to make your next Disney vacation better. So let me start with Pam. When I kind of dropped this earlier in the week in a text message, and we kind of started saying, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, what was the first thing you thought of that it's a tip you haven't given over the last 9 years? Because it's really hard to come up with some new stuff, honestly, you know, when it comes to trip planning, when you've talked about it this much. So was there anything else you could think of outside the box?
There is, and I will say that this was kind of challenging here because it was just, you know, you think about the things that you've said over the years and you're kind of, you know, the way that you tour and how you make things different and out of the box. And this one is kind of out of the box. I mean, I hope it's kind of out of the box. It's presented in a new way, if nothing else. So what I wanted to encourage folks to do is, you know, the way that you plan your vacation, doing all kinds of research and scheduling your fast passes and making those advanced dining reservations and all of that. People put so much time and energy into making sure that their park days, you know, just go exactly how they had planned. Well, I want to encourage you, if you want to get the most out of your trip, to put that much time and energy into spending some time outside of the parks and enjoying that aspect of your vacation. Because while eventually some people do end up like, they're like, oh, we were exhausted mid-trip, so we just decided to go ahead and lay by the pool today and we loved it. You know what I mean? That kind of thing happens. I don't think nearly as many folks do that when considering they're out of the park time. They just don't put the time and energy into it. And there's really just so much to see and do outside of the parks. You know, the dining is just one aspect of that. There's really recreational opportunities that may appeal to so many different parts of your, you know, your traveling group. There are shopping opportunities. There's just so much to see and do. And you're really missing out on a huge part of a Disney vacation if you ignore that aspect of your trip or just allow it to happen without any kind of planning. And this in particular kind of, you know, I want to encourage you too, when you're thinking about choosing your resort, make sure that that resort is going to meet your needs in that space. If you have downtime, if you have time that you consciously choose to spend outside of the park, are you going to be happy at your resort? Are you going to take advantage of the amenities or not? Or is there another resort that might meet those needs too? So that's going to be my sort of first tip in that space.
That's a great tip because, again, I'm going and pulling some also from our Facebook group. And Robert Franklin from the Facebook group agrees with you. He said, my parents would always book at Yacht and Beach Club, but reduce the days we would go to the parks by 1 to 2 to justify. The pool there is ridiculously awesome, and younger kids love it just as much as a water park. So I think that's what he's saying is, you know, sometimes book that vacation for 7 nights, but it's okay if you only have 5 days of tickets because – worst case, you have so much other stuff to do outside the theme parks. And like you said, Pam, you know, until you've tried it, you think, oh, I have to go to the theme parks every day because here's my thing. I do schedule days where I don't go into the parks and I always enjoy them. But in the back of my head, every once in a while, like when I see people getting ready to get on Disney transportation or they're coming back with balloons and, you know, they're getting off the buses, I start to say, ooh, am I missing something? But then you know what? A lot of times I get to the theme park, it'll be crowded and busy, and I'll be like, man, I wish I'd be at the pool right now just chilling with a, you know, just hanging out. You know, so I think it's one of those things that sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. You know, if you're at the, you're staying at your resort, you're worried about what you're missing in the theme parks. When you're in the theme parks, a lot of times it's hot, it's busy, and you wish you could just kind of chill out and relax at your resort. You know, I kind of get caught up in that conundrum sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's really easy to do, but you know, look at your vacation too as an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with the people that you're with. Not that you can't do that in the parks, but I think it's a little easier to focus on those folks when you're doing something like, you know, hanging out by the pool or walking around Disney Springs or maybe, you know, exploring a resort or something like that. So lots of opportunities there to enjoy everyone you're with.
And Disney's done a really good job with that in the past few years, too, with like the entertainment around the pools, you know, and it's not just like for an hour anymore. It's, I'd say, almost 5 hours an afternoon, you know, during peak seasons. They'll, you know, do hula hoop contests and water balloon contests and, you know, scavenger hunts and trivia. And I think that, you know, again, it makes the resort a destination and the kids are going to be more likely to be happy and enjoy. I mean, you know, Mallory has to stay there to do that stuff. And hey, that's fine with me. All right. So, Ricky, give us an outside the box tip that we haven't shared here on the podcast too much over the last 9 years.
So, you know, one thing that I'm super guilty of, and it happens even more so during the festival season at Epcot, which truthfully at this point seems to be every season at Epcot, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the one thing that I'm super guilty about is really just not enjoying the World Showcase countries the way that I should. You know, I will, you know, peruse the outside, you know, the outside rim of them. I'll maybe go in, you know, if there's an attraction and I'll do the attraction. But, you know, I really don't, you know, explore overall a lot of the shops or, you know, the rest of the stuff that the countries have to offer. And, you know, there are some great suggestions and ways that you can do this. You can do like the Agent P, you know, World Showcase Adventure. Yes, even adults can do it. I've done it before. But perhaps one of my favorite ways to do this is to grab one of the, you know, the KidCot Duffy's or, you know, Perry's or whatever they have going on this time period and getting to go to every single KidCot stop and interacting with a cast member there. I know most of them, again, are expecting children to come through, but it really is a great thing to do for as an adult. One of my favorite souvenirs that I have is actually a Duffy that I went around and got, you know, signed by every single cast member in those countries. And, you know, they stamped it and, you know, wrote a little message and everything like that. So, you know, it's just, it's a free thing that you can do. And it's really just a great way to interact with the cast members and to see a lot more that the each country has to offer because the countries are so beautiful. I never knew how gorgeous the Morocco pavilion yes. really was wow. until you actually go back there and really explore that pavilion. Now it's seriously one of my favorites. So, you know, honestly, just explore the World Showcase pavilions and really go through them because so often, you know, you just go around the outskirts, you know, grabbing food or beverages or, you know, hanging out or whatever, and you don't go and explore.
That's so, such a great tip because, yeah, I think a lot of folks like us, we see them on the surface. You know, you go to the restaurant, yeah. You know, the restroom is usually in most countries and that's about it, you know, or maybe the store. But like right. you said, Morocco, like I went back there just on New Year's Eve because I was looking for an out of the way bathroom because you got to kind of
yes,
do that.
You
on
were.
New Year's. But I mean, at night, it's beautiful back there. I mean, back at Restaurant Marrakesh, you got to kind of wind through the back alleys there and it's a neat experience. And I think we need to do more of that in all the World Showcase pavilions. That's a great tip. All right, I'm going to give mine to, and I'm giving mine away here on our 9th birthday. It's going to Nicole Orr, who's on our Facebook page, a great fan of the podcast. She says, also sort of in the same training I mentioned above, we take our kids to places to practice what it'll be like in a park. a nice hot crowded day at a local zoo, our children's museum, etc. And if you're going to be driving or have never been in a hotel with your kids, I suggest weekend trips. We take 2-hour road trips to get them used to the drive. We even stayed in a hotel in and out of town just for practice and lots of fun. We chose a hotel with a buffet breakfast, dinner, and a pool to make it worth the effort. And also, Nicole mentioned in a previous post that she takes her kids to buffets and also some dining locations that are table service, that the service isn't that quick. So what she's doing is she's simulating, and I think this is actually a good idea with kids. I never really gave it this much thought, but she's simulating the environments the kids will be in, a road trip, the dining situations, being in a place with crowds and having to, you know, what do you do when you have to be patient and wait for something to happen? Dealing with the heat. Now, you know, you don't want to put them out where it's going to make them sick or anything. But Pam, I think this is a great idea because just like anything, and I tell my students this at school, is that the only way you get better at things is you need to have some experience. And I think if kids have a little experience and have some coping, you know, skills with crowds and heat and, you know, waiting for food, I think you're probably setting yourself up for more for success than maybe not.
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of things that, especially for kids that may have some challenges in adapting to new situations, and this can be any kid. I mean, there are some times when I remember when Hannah was little that we'd roll into a new situation and I think that Hannah would be able to just handle it fine, right? And it freaked her out for one reason or another. And I thought to myself, dang, why didn't I try to X, Y, or Z? And you know, why didn't I try this in advance? Why didn't I see if this would work or not? And I think that's the other thing about kind of dry runs or practicing things like this. Little things come up that you never anticipated happening, that you never anticipated being a problem. There are lots of people who say, you know, their kids don't like the characters. And so they try doing like a Chuck E. Cheese or some kind of local spot, you know, where their kids will encounter some kind of character to kind of try this out. Now, this was never, an issue for Hannah. Like, she would run from us when she saw the characters. And so, like, my problem was, crud, now I have to go chase her down because the girl had no fear of any of the characters. But I mean, it's just things like that that you just don't anticipate being an issue. And when you do a trial run like this, then you'll know, okay, I think we got this. And everyone feels a little more comfortable. The kids, the adults, everyone. It's just a better experience.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thanks, Nicole, for that great tip. All right, Pam, give us your second of your 3 outside the box tips.
So I'm going to say, this is not just for Walt Disney World. This is for when you're thinking about planning a Disney vacation in general. But if you're thinking of visiting during a holiday or a crowded time and you're kind of worried about the crowds and you're not quite sure what to do, I'm going to encourage you to kind of think out of the box a little bit and consider a Disney Cruise Line vacation. Because with Disney Cruise Line, the ship's not going to get fuller than it is typically. I mean, most of the time, Disney Cruise Line sails with their ships, you know, about 95% full. And that is going to be the same during the holidays as well. It's not like you can cram 1,000 more people on the ships. That's just not going to happen. They have occupancy guidelines for not only the staterooms, but for the ships as a whole. And what you may find is that it makes for a really kind of leisurely holiday experience in that you're there. Of course, you know, Disney Cruise Line vacation is super relaxing. But again, you're getting away from all of the craziness that is sometimes at home during the holidays. And you're there in a kind of controlled atmosphere, but you get to celebrate. It's a really cool way to celebrate. There's holiday things going on the ships, just like there are in the parks and resorts. They have special activities. They have special meals, a special food. So all the things that you look to when considering a trip during holidays at the parks, you can get on the Disney cruise. And it's just an awesome thing to consider when you're, you know, looking at ways to do that without making yourself crazy with crowds.
Yeah, Disney Cruise Line has really embraced like the Halloween on the high seas and stuff like that. I mean, it's and you can do that basically from it's almost like the same kind of booking window that the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is going on. It's, you know, maybe not quite as long, but it's like mid-September on. And, you know, it gives kids a taste and the whole family, you know, because I think the cool thing about a cruise, and we're getting ready to do the podcast cruise, and I love these, is because you really get to have experiences on the cruise ships that you wouldn't get in real life. I mean, you get to be in a game show if you want. You can do trivia. You get to dress up. I mean, even the adults. Like, I love busting out the pirate costume. I'll never forget the first podcast cruise or the second. I can't remember which one it was. When Jerry dressed up like a pirate. Do you remember Jerry Griffith?
Yeah.
I thought he was a cast member. I didn't even know it was Jerry. Like, I couldn't even tell. Like, I was with him earlier that day, and I didn't have
any idea.
Remember
also when Mike got, you know, started thinking that the random dude yes. who was dressed up as Jack Sparrow was Disney's Jack Sparrow, and he started, like, really kind of fawning all over him? Yeah, that was fun.
I got all pictures with that cat. I thought he was like a real cast member. I got all kinds of pictures. Anyway, so let's move on before I embarrass myself anymore.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
He embarrasses himself any further.
The ships get so full. Back to that. All right, Ricky, give us another tip, please. Not about Jack Sparrow.
Not about Jack Sparrow? Okay, well, I'll try not to do that. All right. So, you know, one of the most important things that people really just don't think about when they head down to Walt Disney World is, you know, of course you're going to take a lot of photos. Of course you're going to, you know, use your phone for My Disney Experience. But one thing that you're probably not thinking about is, oh my goodness, my battery is going to die. It's just something that, especially first timers, you just really don't think about the fact that your battery is going to go and going to go fast. So one thing that I like to suggest is to pick up a fuel rod. These are new at Walt Disney World, relatively speaking. And they are what they are is they're portable batteries that you can purchase in the parks for $30. But I'll give you a hint. If you purchase it online on the fuel rod website, it's actually a little cheaper. You can also find them in other places, too. I know they have them here in Atlanta at the airport, that kind of thing. It's a one-time fee, though, and what it does is once you use your fuel rod portable battery, you can then either charge it, because they give you cords and stuff like that, or you can take it to any fuel rod kiosk, and you can exchange it for a freshly charged fuel rod for no additional cost. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that you can seriously just go, here, my fuel rod's dead. Because that's another common thing I have a problem with. You know, I have a portable battery, but when it's dead, it's dead. And if I forget to charge it, then I'm in trouble. That's so big with it. But they come with a 6-inch USB cord that has adapters for Android and iPhones. So you're good to go. And the chargers can last up to 8 hours. So that's pretty awesome. And the charger is yours to keep. So, like, it's not like you have to return it at the end of the cruise or anything like that. Or cruise. I was thinking about something else, by the way. that's another really good tip that I think I'll go with as my next one. So you don't have to give it up at the end of your vacation. You get to take it home with you. And then you can use it as your own personal charger later. So
it's a little sous vide at the end of the trip.
Yeah, it's a nice little souvenir.
Nice. We keep the weirdest things as Disney fans. I'm not kidding.
I know. Look at my souvenir from Disney. It's
but Hannah loves hers. Hannah has one of those too, and she actually bought it. Here's a little money-saving tip. She actually bought it at our airport, and it was $10 cheaper than buying it at Walt Disney World, and you can still exchange it there as well. It's a nationwide program, so.
You can find a fuel rod kiosk.
That's right.
Do the ones at Walt Disney World have any Disney branding on them or anything like on the outside?
Nah,
I haven't seen
them. No.
Huh. Well, that's good then. That way you can buy them anyway. That's probably good. That's, you know, financially. I could totally see him putting a skin on that sucker and charging $10 extra dollars, though. Just saying. Not that it's ever happened. Magic Band 2 with Beauty and the Beast.
Right? Exactly.
Anyway, Kyle, I'm giving mine up to the listeners because I love our listeners. We're giving out the presents on our 9th birthday. No, actually, they did the work for me, so I'm taking the presents, actually. But Colleen Finnegan in the Facebook comments here mentions, you can tell she's a runner, pack a lacrosse ball or a tennis ball for foot massages. We also bring Gatorade Power in a single pack and single-use packs to churn free ice water into Gatorade in the parks. And you know what? Here's the thing about traveling to Walt Disney World. Now, we do have a lot of runners in our audience. But when you're going, especially during the hot times of the year, you need to think of yourself as an athlete, as a runner. And think about those things because you know what? if you're there in July, you don't have to be running. Nobody should be running in July. Don't go running outside no matter what. In July, it's hot even at 4:30 in the morning. But the thing is, you know, you're going to get cramps. You're going to, your feet are going to hurt at the end of the night just for walking around the theme park. So these kind of things, like packing a tennis ball or something like that to kind of work the cramps out back in the hotel, bringing Gatorade single-use packs, you know, that's just smart. So, and actually Jamie Price also says to go on long walks in the months leading up to your trip. If you can easily walk at least 4 miles a day by the time your trip comes around, you're good to go. So I think those are good tips, because a little planning goes a long way. And I think, you know, a Disney vacation isn't physically demanding, but it also depends on your lifestyle. If you sit in an office every day and you're never out in the heat, and then all of a sudden you're going to go to Walt Disney World for a week in July, it can be a shock to the system. So make sure you kind of, you know, maybe not in the, you know, noon in, you know, in June before your trip, go out and take a 2 hour walk. But you know what? In the evenings, get out and do a 30 minute walk with the family, adjust to having some humidity, having some activity. And I think that kind of stuff is, you know, it's an ounce of prevention and whatever the rest of that saying goes. So there we go. All right. Last one, Pam, give us the last outside the box tip for you here for 9 years.
And
we'll put them on the shelf.
That's right. And I do have to say, I like that when you don't have the answer to something, you just keep going with it.
Yep.
That's what I like. After 9 years, Mike, that is one thing I wish I could do as well as you. So I'm just saying.
Well, see, I feel comfortable with our listeners after 9 years. They know I'm a bozo, so I don't have to worry. I'm not trying to cover it anymore. That's just how it is.
You do a great job. No, it's not just like that you're, that you don't know. It's like nothing phases you. It's like you just keep going. Just keep going.
That's it. Go ahead. Speaking of keep going, go ahead.
So one of the last thing that I'm going to suggest is, and I'm really going to ask people to do this because I think that you will really see the rewards in this if you do it, but push yourself to do three things that are out of your comfort zone. And the reason why I'm going to ask, especially those who travel often to do this is that we all get in kind of, I don't want to say, but it's for lack of a better word, a rut, right? We have the places we like to eat. We have the attractions we like to experience. We have the resorts even that we like to stay at. But in giving yourself an opportunity to experience things that you don't typically experience, I think it also gives you an opportunity to kind of see those things in a brand new light. And they may bring something to your trip that you never really imagined and expose you to different things. So for some of us, this means that, you know, stop eating at the same restaurants again and again. I mean, you certainly have your favorites and by all means go there. But push yourself the next time you're planning to go somewhere you've either never been or it's been quite a while since you've been there, because you may have found that that restaurant has completely changed and the thing that you perhaps didn't like about it or were afraid about it is just not something that you have to worry about, and it may become a new favorite. Think about an attraction that you're really not, you know, it's not something that's in your typical list of things that you have to do. For whatever reason that is. And think about making that happen for you. You may find something new that you really enjoy. And this also, you know, I want you to think about this in terms of the resort that you're going to stay at. Push yourself out of your comfort zone either way. Like, if you think, I'm never going to pay what it costs to stay at a deluxe resort, why don't you try staying there one night and see what you think? Or if you're like, I'm never going to enjoy staying at a value resort. Again, maybe you want to try it once just to see what it's like. Or maybe you just want to look at something that's a completely different theme than anything you've ever stayed at. Maybe you've seen the photos of different resorts and you're like, you know, I don't really like whatever that is. I just don't think I'd like the theme. Just give it a try, because there are just so many awesome things, again, that Disney has to offer. This is a great way to make sure that you experience all of them.
Okay, kind of piggybacking on that, not to go real long on this, but just a couple quick things. I can give you two examples of that happening for me. One was, I never wanted to stay at Coronado. It just didn't ever appeal to me. Once I stayed there, I loved it. That place is awesome. Also, Astro Orbiter. I walked past Astro Orbiter for years, and I think a lot of people have. You're busting through Tomorrowland. It's up there. You're like, I don't want to ride the elevator up there. You know, it's just a spinny ride like Dumbo or like the Magic Carpets. It's cool up there. That's one of my favorites. Mallory and I love that ride. That's a tradition for us. So those are two things that forever and ever, I just kind of dismissed them. But now that I took the chance to do it once, it's kind of totally I've done a 180 on that experience or that resort. So I do those every time. So Pam, can you think of something recently that you would just kind of push to the side and then you tried it and it's up there on your list of things to do now?
So we recently have experienced, there were a couple different restaurants that for one reason or another, it just wasn't my favorite. It wasn't, you know, and I didn't really feel the need to go back there. Didn't feel the need to go back and do it ever again, really. But I have, and I've given another shot. I know that this is the one that so many people have such a great experience at. It was actually Narcoossee's. I had a bad experience there, like so bad that I didn't want to go back again for a while. Not that it's not a beautiful restaurant, because it is. It's stunningly beautiful. But we had ventured again and had a good experience. So I'm really going to be back there again. And another one was, funny enough, I was really resistant to trying Tiffin's. I'd looked at the menu probably 20 times. Just like, I don't know. Like, there are things I could order there, but nothing was really grabbing me, right? So for some reason, I was just like balking at making that reservation. In fact, I had made a reservation there and canceled it probably 5 times. Just like as we're, you know, get a couple days out from it, I'd be like, yeah, there's like 10 other places I'd rather eat. So I'm going to go there. But so finally, we did it on our last trip. And it was really good. And as I've, you know, talked it up on the podcast a few times, it just had really solid food, great atmosphere. It has a beer that you can only get right there. Hello, why wasn't I there just for the beer, if nothing else? I don't know. But anyways, it's going to become one of my mainstays. I'm sure that we'll go there again and again and again. And finally, one other thing, not to take too much time, but we had ended up going down early for New Year's last year. Well, this year into last year into this year. And Steve actually planned that trip without me. I had no idea. He told me about it on Christmas Day. And there was nothing available. Like the resorts were all sold out except for one, and it was Pop Century. And I make no bones about it. Like the values are not my preferred spot to stay at Disney. Not that I think anything's wrong with it or anything else. It's just not where I am. Usually when I'm going away, well, that's where we ended up staying. And we actually had a really good time there. There's a lot to do in the value resorts that I think, you know, that's available to everyone. There are things that everyone will appreciate. So like I said, you just have to, you don't know what you're going to like until you actually experience it. And I don't think anyone else's advice in this space can help you make that decision really.
Yeah. Where else can you sleep under a big wheel? You know, it's awesome.
Right.
I love that.
Thankfully,
thing.
Steve didn't make me sleep under the big
that's
wheel.
True. That's when you get kicked out. All right, Ricky, real quick, before you give your last tip, anything that's kind of you went past for years and years, but surprised you kind of along the lines of what Pam mentioned, to try something new?
Yeah. So actually, and I think this is one that, Mike, you also probably have in common with me, is Sanaa. Again, the food, it did not sound like it appealed to me at all. I'm not a super big adventurous eater. I will try things now, but I'm not, you know, the menu, just there was nothing there that I was like, you know what? I think I really want to try that. But I'd heard for years about the bread service and how good it was. So, you know, of course, that was why we went there initially, was because, okay, I sat there and thought, I've got to try the bread service. Everybody raves about it. So, you know, I did that. And yeah, of course, there were a few things that I didn't particularly care for in the bread service. I didn't love every single dip, but there were definitely some that I certainly did love. But the thing that got me was the butter chicken. That is honestly one of my favorite things I've ever eaten. Matter of fact, I literally make it at home, about at least once a month now. You know, I find the butter chicken sauce and make it at home, and it is seriously one of my favorite things that I make. And it's one of Brian's favorite things. So, you know, Sanaa, really, it changed my life. I have to say, Sanaa changed my life.
I don't know. I don't know if it changed my life. I mean, it's a good meal and all. Come on now.
I make butter just dinner like once a month. That's a big life change right there. Like seriously, that's a life change.
Hang on, I'm marking this for a lesson in hyperbole for my students right here. Marker 31.
No hyperbole. It changed my life.
All right. Well,
I would have never made butter chicken once a month if it wasn't for snuff.
All right. Well, hyperbole, Ricky, give us your last tip, and then we're going to close this baby out.
All right. So my last tip, and it is one that I thought of while I was here because I, did a Freudian slip, and so I'm going to go with it. So on the cruise line, there are a couple of unique beverage opportunities. Of course, you have the drinks that you can buy. But one of the really cool things is that they have a beer mug. And this is one of Brian's favorite things. You pay for the mug, and then there is a discount on the beer that you purchase throughout the rest of your cruise. And the great thing is that the mug is basically a souvenir. So what you do is you can take the mug with you, or you can give it back to the bartender and throughout your trip. And they will give you a coin or something along those lines. And when you want another beer, you give them the coin and they'll give you another mug. Obviously, you have to pay for the beer. But like I said, it is a discounted price for the beer. But then once the cruise is over, you get to take home mug. And one of the great things is that you can bring the mug back. So that's kind of the nice thing. And then you get it refilled again for cheaper than the next cruise. So that's one of the things. But then the other thing that I really enjoy is the coffee bar that's on the cruise ships. And it's really nice because, yes, again, this does have a cost to it. But it's really good lattes and things like that. But what they do is they have a program where if you buy a certain number of coffee beverages, they you have a card and you get it stamped. And then once you get, I think it's like 5, you get your 6th one for free. So at least it kind of helps with the cost of that you're spending on the cruise on the very expensive coffees. So that part's nice too.
So they have like a frequent whatever
they
member
do.
Card
they have
on a cruise.
Yeah,
for a week exactly. Long cruise. Interesting. Yeah. And my brother-in-law Andy did that mug swap for beer on the last podcast cruise and enjoyed it. Took the mug home. So that's cool.
Yep. Brian uses it at least once a week. So yeah. It's his favorite cup to drink out of.
Do they do that for tequila shot glasses?
They do not, which is probably for the best. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, all you got to do is go to a tasting. They'll take care of you. All right. Well, I'm going to close it out here with a couple again, giving mine to the listeners. Now, the listeners doing my work for me. I love some of these.
Yeah.
Kristen Dyer, I love this one on the Facebook group. To save money on breakfast, we pack a toaster in our suitcase plus bagels and peanut butter.
Oh, my goodness.
That way we can eat while getting ready and not miss rope drop. Is a toaster legal to have in your luggage? I guess if you're driving, can you take a toaster on an airplane in your luggage? Would that not get like... you tagged or something? I don't know. I'm new to flying. I guess you can. That's cool. Bring a toaster. I thought it was just going to say toast, but it was a toaster. So that's cool. And one more. Brad Mackey says, if you want to meet Talking Mickey, go 5 minutes after the Festival of Fantasy Parade kicks off. The wait times drop dramatically. And again, that's a good tip because you want to go the way the crowd is not going. The crowd's going to see the parade. Go see Talking Mickey. All right. Well, hey, this has been a good time. So we want to hear what you have to say. Add to the conversation again. Be our guest. Actually, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We'll have this up here on the page here on a Friday to get some more kind of outside the box tips. You know, things we don't think about. Maybe your best hack that the world doesn't know about, but it'll help us all pool our resources and plan a better Disney vacation next time. So don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So the next time you're headed to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line, work with a great agent over at the Magic for Less. And I'd love to help you personally help plan that next trip. We can have a good time, you know, talking about, Pop Century, Art of Animation. Maybe you want to go over to an All-Star. Oh, it's Pam. We're talking Polynesian, Wilderness Lodge, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge. No, we're just kidding. But we'll do that kind of stuff. You know what? Because we want to suit that vacation to your taste. Because really, one person can have all kinds of different vacations. If you're going down for a running race, maybe you just need a place to sleep. Maybe you're going down with the family and you want to really enjoy the pool time. That's important. So you want to go where there's a nice pool, maybe a nice slide at that pool. Maybe you want dining on site. That's another consideration. Those are the kind of conversations you're going to have with an agent over at the Magic for Less, because they want to get to know you and they truly want to give you the best Disney vacation possible at the lowest cost. And one of the big things, I know there's a lot of talk about future discounts coming out here soon. Who knows? We know nothing official right now. But one of the great things to know, it gives you peace of mind. When you book a vacation package with the Magic for Less, if a discount is released, they are going to be on the phones the moment that they can on that discount day to advocate for you to get you the best discount possible on that existing vacation, so you don't have to sweat the details. They're going to do that sweating for you. So next time you're planning a Disney vacation, drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. And please do let them know you heard about them here on the BR Guest Podcast. And they're over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget, we're also brought to you by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise.advisors.com/drew.baker. Do give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And drop by the Facebook group. We have over 5,300 friends over there talking Disney each and every day. We're at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. And I hate to tell you this, it's the weekend. You know, and your house is, you know, it needs to be tidied up a little bit. And so when you're getting ready to tidy up, you need cleaning supplies. You need stuff for a fun weekend, too. It's spring, even though it's snowing everywhere. You guys are probably digging out in the Northeast still. But hey, if you want to get a sled, we don't care what you buy. Just when you go to Amazon, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please help support the show. Every time you make a purchase through that link, it gives us a little kickback, helps us pay for the bandwidth and the hosting and all that good stuff. And it really helps us out and it costs you nothing extra. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. The next time you do a little online shopping. And thanks to everybody who has done that lately. We really appreciate that. All right, well, it's time to cut you loose for another weekend. Thank you sincerely, sincerely from the bottom of my heart for 9 years of letting us do this podcast. It's been a treat for us. And again, we just hope to grow the show and expand out what we do. We love this and we just want to keep doing it and making it better. So watch for a bonus show possibly next week. Who knows? Just watch that feed. You never know when something will pop up. So anyway, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, please do stay safe and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.